You want to turn to that. I wanted to also thank the Mobley family for asking me to be a part of the service the other day. I considered it quite an honor, and I appreciated that so much. And again, our hearts go out to them. When we studied this from Judges 17 and 18, one of the things that we would want to look at is, what is wrong with this? I mean, actually, you could probably pick up some commentaries and you'd find that they would say, well, this wasn't all that bad. These people were trying, at least. And so, was it really bad that they were doing these things? I mean, after all, they were trying. Well, I would argue that Micah, if he thought it was all right to steal from his mother, there's something wrong with him. He didn't understand the basics. It said in Exodus 20:15, you will not steal. Didn't say, okay, well, it's okay from your mother or from your father or from the person next door. No, no one. You have no right, he said on the law of Moses, to take anything that belongs to anyone else, period. Proverbs 30, it is an interesting passage of Scripture throughout Proverbs, where in chapter 30, where he talks about children in the relationship, obviously those that are old enough to know better, taking from their parents, not doing things that they should, not honoring their mothers, not obeying their mothers, not doing what's right, and somehow or another. And he says, for some reason, that generation in verse 12 thinks that they're pure in their own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. God's pretty direct about this. That these folks that have their fangs out, that are taking from others what does not belong to them, they are not good people. This was not a good man. He thought it was okay to set up idols to worship God, or to worship God through them. Somehow or another in his mind he'd worked this out that it was okay. He hadn't known about the ephod because he made one. But we go back to Exodus 28, and you know, I'm going to mostly just comment on these things. I'm going to give you the scriptures. You can go back and read this. An ephod was something that was worn by the priest. You know why it was worn by the priest? Because God said, you will wear it. God said, and this is the way you will design this piece of clothing. And they were the only ones that were to use that. There was no authority for anyone else to use that. You remember even David when he was hungry, that the showbread belonged to the priest. This is an example of this. He had to ask for that. He didn't just go in and take it. It wasn't his, and he knew that. He would have disobeyed God. Did they have a right to give it to him? Yes, his food. But the ephod was not to be used this way. But they said he had set it up somehow or another, thinking this would be pleasing to God. It was not. These carved and molded images. Back in Exodus 20, he had clearly told them, you don't do this. It's not something I want you to do in verses 3 through 5. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves any carved image. What about this? Can't you understand? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Micah. What didn't he understand about that? What wasn't clear about that? Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that's on the earth beneath, or what is in the water under the earth? You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation, those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love and keep my commandments. Now I'm going to tell you something. Dan suffered as a result of this to the point that, and I was going to use this, and I'm glad that Pam brought it out. When you get to Revelation 7, they're not even mentioned. They had fallen away from God, and you look at the tribes he mentioned there, he does not mention Dan at all. Dan was the first to accept all of this because of this man Micah, who was not a Danite, he was an Ephraimite, but they followed him instead of God. He thought it's okay to have these household idols. Zechariah 10:2 said, what are you thinking about having these idols as a substitute for God? And people look at this and go, what a bad man Michael was. And yet we have the written Word of God, and what do? He thought it was okay to set up his son as a priest. Where did he find that? He found that nowhere. In Exodus 30:30, God said, I chose the priest. they will all come from Aaron and his son, the high priest, and the rest of them will come from the Levitical tribe. I made that choice. You don't get that choice. I made it. He had no right to set his son up as a priest between him and God. Somehow or another, he thought this was okay. But he did at least think about this a little bit, and then he thought it was okay to hire his own priest. He thought, well, okay, I won't use my son anymore, and so I'll just hire me one. Not the way this works. We don't hire people for our work. People work in the kingdom of God, and as a result, they are to be helped in their lives. And that's exactly what he considered with the Levites. This was not a situation where, okay, let's make a deal, Mr. Levi. He doesn't give his name. Here's my deal. I'll pay you. I'll give you this amount of money every year. I'll take care of you. I'll give you a place to stay. Now will you be my priest? And he said, okay. Wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Exodus 29:44. Again, God did the choosing. Deuteronomy 26:12-15. Numbers 18:21-24. We know these scriptures. God had already predetermined how this was supposed to work. They were to serve Him in His tabernacle and to serve the people. And they were not hired out to do this separate and apart from the way God set it up. What was wrong with his mother? What was she thinking? She thought that somehow or another in her mind she had a right to put a curse on someone who had taken her money. Wow. God's the only one that has that right. If God says you'll be cursed for what you do, you'll be cursed for what you do. God, you remember, set up on the mountain the mountain of curses and the mountain of blessings. And when you don't do what He says, you're cursed. He'll curse someone. You don't stand in... You have no right. That's witchcraft. You don't stand in place and say, oh, I don't like what Glendon did to me. I'm going to make this little thing and I'm going to hit it with... This is ridiculous, folks. This is what they were doing. And He had said, you're going to get into this. And He had already warned them about this, even to making their children walk through the fire, as it were. In other words, using them as sacrifices toward these idols. This is how far this went. He thought it was okay again to make a carved and molded, or she did, thought it was okay to make a carved and molded image to worship God. Even to the point she was encouraging her son to do it. It's bad enough that we get into sin as parents, but to get our children in it as well, what is wrong with this woman? Same thing is wrong with us. We lead our children astray if we don't watch it. We get them to do things because they think our parents are right. But this woman did this. She thought it was okay to hire a silversmith to make this carved image and this molded image. Isaiah 44. Isaiah comments on this. And remember, this is much later down in history. And the kingdom has been established. They have kings. They haven't quit this. They thought it's still okay. And let me just tell you something. You can drive around, and in this town alone, you can drive around, and you'll see people with these little images that are there to bless their gardens, to bless their house, to bless... Let me tell you, folks, that's no different than what we're talking about right here. You don't substitute anything for God. Nothing. And that's what she did. She had a silversmith, paid him good money. Isaiah 44:15-16. He is mocking those that would do this, and he says that they'll take this tree and they'll cut it down and they'll go to all of this work as if they're serving God and they'll make part of it to burn. So what would make the other part more special? Wow, okay, they take that part and carve it and make this image of some sort that for some reason or another they think they can worship or worship God through it. He said, here you are, you're roasting it, and you're saying, oh, I'm warm, I've seen the fire. And on the other hand, and then you're taking the rest of it into a god, a carved image, fall down and worship it and say, deliver me for you're my God. You'll burn part of it. Which part was the right part? Did you burn the right part? Did you keep the right part? What were you thinking, folks? This is a part of His creation. You don't do this. And the silversmith was wrong as well, and he comments on this in Isaiah 44:9 on down. They're all useless, he said. Not just the images, but these people that would make them. And guess what? We get to the New Testament, and they're still doing exactly the same thing. This has not changed at all. You'd think people would learn. You'd think people would understand. You'd think people would know this is not what God wants. But in their desire to do something, they somehow think, they've reasoned it out, they thought it out, and they think this is okay. In his house, here he is substituting. He didn't go to the tabernacle like God said. It never mentions once that he ever left his house to go down there and offer a sacrifice for his sins for him and his household. Instead, he's doing it in his own house. I don't know. Somehow in his mind, he thought he could substitute this. He can't substitute this. He can't substitute the use of the ephod. He can't go through an idol to worship God. It's just not right. It will not be pleasing in God's sight. I want to go back to Exodus this time. I've got Exodus 32, but I want to go back to Exodus 20 and use this one passage of Scripture, verse 23. You shall not make anything to be with me. In other words, not only am I not, I'm telling you not to make a god and let that stand in place of me, but you will not put anything with me. Nothing. Gods of silver or gods of gold you shall not make for yourselves. Very simple. How about the Levite? The Levite. Titus 1 verse 11. Paul wrote about men who were willing, and this is not the only occasion, I could have used several scriptures on this, men who were willing to teach things on the basis of what they could gain from it. They were willing to tickle the ears of those around them for what they could gain from it. Dishonest gain. It is wrong. He was willing to do what he had not been instructed to do by the law of Moses. If this is one man that should have known, it's a Levite. In the New Testament, we see exactly the same problem, don't we? We see the priests and the Levites aren't doing what God wanted them to do. We see throughout the Old Testament, he's constantly talking to them because they're not doing what he's asked them to do. They stand between the people and him. Period. There's nothing else there. They're to come to him. And Leviticus 10:1, we know what Nadab and Abihu did, and there's other scriptures about that, and we see clearly that whatever it was they did, it was strange before God. It was a strange fire before God, and he wasn't pleased with them. And I'll tell you how displeased he was. He killed them. What didn't this Levite understand about that? And he was willing to go himself, a man who was supposed to go only to God and go to the high priest himself as well, is willing to stand in the place of the high priest and become the high priest between himself and Micah. That's not right. And then go use idols to do it in addition to that. But you know what? He meant well. So it's okay. No, it's not. And the Danites, they're thieves as well. And the worst part is they're stealing things that are worthless. They're stealing things that would have absolutely... If you're going to pick something that has no value, you couldn't have picked anything better. All the way back to the beginning, we can remember times like Rebecca picking the gods. We can remember times when they were going into Ai and they took those gods away from there, you know, those idols. And you remember what happened to that family when they did that. There was trouble in the camp. It caused them major problems. This is their history. And yet here we are again. Same thing. And then they're influenced by man. They're convinced that this Levite is standing for God. And they listen to what he has to say. And they believe that he can bless them on their journey and take care of them. And that's not the way it works. Because he is not seeking out God. And he doesn't even say he is. If you notice in all this, he's for hire. He's a Balaam, if you will. A man who says, I'll take money and I'll go prophesy whatever you want me to say. They thought he must be right with God. I mean, after all, would this man do this? Why? You really believe that a person wouldn't, some man or woman would mislead you? Aren't they honest? Aren't they trying to do what's right? Not at all. I'll tell you, when we look at it and we think about it, God had already chosen the ones that would serve. He told them when they were to serve, the age they were to serve, and how they were to serve. There was nothing in this that they couldn't understand. I just used Numbers 4, 2, and 3. That's one of the instances where he's telling them how to do it and what age to do it. And I thought about this. They go, well, you can be our father and priest by hire. I thought of what Christ said in the New Testament. This is a problem. We set up these hierarchies. We set up these people, and we make these people as if they are some great thing. And Christ said, there's only one great, that's me. There's only one teacher, that's me. There's only one Father, and that's the God and Father in heaven. Do not in any religious way ever pick someone to be your father. There are no fathers in that respect in the kingdom. There are no priests in that respect in that kingdom or in the one we're in. And that's a scary thing when we think about it. And He says, do not. And people still do it. What about this that they didn't understand and we don't understand? And then they set up this idol worship in their new location, where they could have it there, where they would not go back to Shiloh, where they would not do any of these things the way God wanted them to do. In Hebrews 10:1-3, those sacrifices, and I use this in a little different way in respect to this, because I'm using it to show that they had to go once a year to offer sacrifices for their sin. Go and do it. They had to take it there and let the high priest offer it for them. And the high priest had to offer those. And we see that continually. They did it when the temple was put in, and they were supposed to do that. And here He's not doing it. This is from Joshua. I just want to remind you of something. When they were fighting, and they were going into the land of Canaan, and they were very upset. And so they were upset with these people because, you remember, they had settled on the other side of Jordan. And they looked over there and they saw them building an altar, and they said, behold, the children of Reuben in verse 11, the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar. You remember why they were upset about that? What could possibly be wrong with them building an altar? Right? What could be wrong with this? Well, I'll tell you what they thought was wrong about it. That they had no right to do this. They were not priests. And they thought that they were sinning. And you know what they said to them? They went over there to do it. And these tribes said, whoa, don't kill us. Because they came with an army. They were wanting to get this sin away from them because they were upset about this. They understood this then. Remember what they said? We didn't build it for that reason. But we stand before God. We built that as a memorial, not to offer sacrifice on. Please, don't do this. And they said, okay, all right, you can do that. That's okay with God as a memorial. It's not an idol. It's not something to be offered sacrifices on. And we don't deviate from God's Word. Well, why not? Because they knew the seriousness of this and they knew it was wrong. You cannot do this. And the Danites, they continued to serve idols till either. Now, I'm going to put this down. I'm going to give them a little leeway here. I don't know. It says until they went into captivity, you remember from chapter 18. Now, I don't know if that meant until the ark was taken into captivity, because that can be translated that way. Or it was when they finally went into, the northern tribes went into captivity by the Assyrians. I don't know which took place. But I do know this about the Danites. I've said it before, say it one more time. They were one of the tribes where Jeroboam set up the new idol that they were to go and to worship God there. So I do know that it was an accepted thing there, and they had been accepting this the whole time. They were the first, if you will, tribe to almost completely fall away from God. And this may have been, I don't know that it was a start of their worshiping idols, but I do know that it helped to get them to continue to worship idols. We don't know from the text whether they had done this before or this is something where they were just following Micah and this priest. So what led them from God? If we look at Judges 17 and 18 again, he does not give a lot of information. If you note, we could simply say, well, they just weren't doing what God said. Well, this could be easy to do because they didn't have the written Word of God. And if someone wasn't presenting it to them, that could have been a problem. But I would argue that he gives some reasons. In 17 verse 6, he says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Number one, there was no king in Israel. And he says that again in 18:1. So I believe all he's saying is there was no true leadership. Okay? He's not blaming their sins because they didn't have any leadership. He's just simply saying that what they weren't doing, I believe, is following the one king they did have. They didn't accept the one king they did have. They didn't accept the God of heaven. That's what he wanted them to do. He wanted them to follow him voluntarily, and he would set up the leaders, and he would do all of this, but they wouldn't do it. They just wouldn't do it. But you note the second thing it says, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. See, the problem with this is, if I do what I think is just right in my own eyes, you know what that means? It means I'm not seeking authority for it. I've had people argue with me, well, I don't know that it's wrong, but it's probably better that we don't do that. And I say, well, let me ask you a question. Where's your authority? They go, well, he doesn't really say it's we can do it or not do it. And I go, again, where's your authority for it? I don't look at all of those as being reasonable in my mind. That's the same thing these folks could have said. Could they not have said that? Well, it seemed reasonable. We couldn't do that. We were trying. They reasoned it out. So they had no consistent leader in their mind's view, but they did have. They had a leader. He just didn't happen to be on earth. They had a leader that they could look to. They had a written word that they could look to. They had people that should have been presenting that every year. They had things they could have known. And then we find they thought that God would be good to them if they just did something. You ever heard that one? We just need to do something. No, we don't. We need to do what he said, not just something. In verse 3, well, they know that Levite's there, so they think it's okay. In verse 13, they come back to this house because they're thinking this is okay. This is right. Micah thought it was okay. Micah's mother thought it was okay in 17:3. And in 13, the same way, Micah said, "Why, now I know the Lord will be good to me." Where did he come up with that in his own mind? He didn't have anything from God's Word that would have said, yes, he'll be good to me. But somehow in his own mind, he thought, I'm doing something, so therefore God will be pleased. In 18, 5 and 6, we find that they thought because the man was a Levite, then he has a relationship with God. I'm going to tell you right now, just because I get up here and preach doesn't mean I have a relationship with God. Don't ever trust a man or a woman. Trust God. Put your trust fully in God, because I'll tell you, He's the only one we can totally depend on. Get everything you get from Him. If I tell you and I don't give you a scripture for it, if I tell you that's okay and I don't give you a scripture for it, you say, where is that? In 18, verse 31, we see that all that time, and I thought this was an interesting statement. It says, in all that time, the house of God was in Shiloh. In other words, it was all there. There was no reason for them not to do it, is what God's saying. It was there. It was available. They could go. But they wouldn't. You know, it reminds me of Israel after disobeying God. He said, go in there. Take Cana in Numbers 14, 39 through 45. He said, nope, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. And Moses said, I tell you what, you folks better be very careful. He might just come down and kill us all. And they said, nope. And he said, okay, but I'm going to tell you what, if you don't go in there, he's going to bring punishment on us. And they said, Wait. Okay, we'll go now. He said, you can't now. Because he's not authorizing us to do it. Well, wasn't that interesting just the day before he was? See, we've got to make sure we're doing exactly what God said when God said it. What we can do one time, and I'm telling you in God's Word, what we can do one time, we can't do somewhere else. We partake of the Lord's Supper here on the first day of the week. We can't do it sometime else. I don't care what man says. I don't care how good it sounds. And when we look at this, they thought this was okay. And you know what happened to them? They lost a lot of people. Just like he told them they would. And they ran out of the Cana. And it took them 40 years before God let them go back in there. Even though that's what he wanted them to do in the first place. But it's like Paul commented on. I'm going to give these people a little leeway like God does. Because he says, at this time of ignorance, God winked at me. Now he commands all men everywhere to repent. I'll tell you this. I will give them a lot more excuse than I'll give us, won't you? They didn't carry it around like we do. They don't have it available like we do on our cell phones, on everything else. Now, what excuse do we have not knowing God's will and doing it? This gradual decline, Christ established His church. It wasn't very long after He established it, we find that they set up elders as overseers. And Paul warned them. Acts 20, it won't be long. Some from among you will draw people away And they're going to create havoc in the Lord's church, basically. And sure enough, it didn't take too long. It happened. And what we find is they weren't happy with having men as elders on the Lord's church. So what'd they do? Well, they set up these tiers of authority, didn't they? Well, this man's over this group. And this man's over all of these groups. And this man's over all of those. And this man's over them all. Gradual decline. He set up each local church to be independent and autonomous. We love our brothers and sisters that go to so many places, but I'll tell you what. They have a work to do. We have a work to do. Separate. The way God intended it, never meant to be like a lot of people want to do. You know elders over each congregation. He didn't say elders, you're over that congregation. You decide how those monies are spent, or they're going to send you their monies and you can decide how they're going to be. It's nothing like that at all. Here, local work, contributions from here, the money's to be used here the way He tells us to use it. In Acts 20:28, He told them to be overseers over that local work there, the church at Ephesus, period. He gave them no other authority. But it happened. Churches became interdependent with one another. They ganged up with, if you will, with other churches. They decided we can do a much greater work. And hey, I'll tell you what, it sounds good. It sounds like it's a good way to do things. It looks like it would be profitable. But it's not authorized. And therefore, it is wrong. And we need to understand that. There's no earthly headquarters. Christ is the King, He said. He said, I'll set up my own king. I'll be head over my own church. I'll set up my own church, He said in Matthew 16:18. In Matthew 28:18, He has all authority. None given out, except for delegating men to exercise His authority, not theirs. Think about this for a moment. But it happened. Churches joined together and they said, you know what? We need to set us up a headquarters somewhere. Let's pick a city and let's set us up a place there, and then we'll put some people there and we'll let them make the decisions for all of these churches. You find anything in God's Word like that at all? But you know, it sounds good, doesn't it? That way we can stay together and we can make sure everybody's doing the same thing. I don't care how good it sounds, it is not sound doctrine. He gave His law. His law is the authority. Whatever you do in word or deed, do you all in the name of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We have to do it in His name. Think about this for a moment, though. It happened. Man said no. Nope. Tell you what, Bible's not good enough. It's not good enough that the house of God's down there at Shiloh. The Bible's not good enough. Let's set our own up. Let's get our own creed. Let's make our own decisions. Let's do our own thing. And that is above the Bible. These are things. Salvation by faith only. One man's the pastor. Fellowship halls in the building. I just saw the other day, I told Glennon, I said, I wish they had a little earlier. I could go over there before I came here. But I was kidding. But that it was as in the bigger letters as the assembly was. The breakfast. It just amazes me. Coffee shops in the building. We were down in Tennessee and I had to agree with my niece. She said, boy, if there's one thing I'd like for sale authority for, it would be a coffee shop in the building. That's because we're coffeeholics. But you think about this for a moment. No authority for it. It sounds good, though, doesn't it? We could get the people together here and we could do some things and we could encourage people. That's just not the way we bring people to Christ. That's not what the assembly's about. The assemblies are for this local church to be edified. It is a serious time for us to come together and remember God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit and what they've done for us. Then other positions added other than elders and deacons. And you can go to a website. There's not, you know, the Philippian church where it's elders and deacons and saints. Now it's like, saints, elders, deacons, youth minister, choir minister, and I can go down a list. Where did they get those? Well, they didn't. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like it'd be a wonderful thing to do. Didn't Micah think the same thing? Musical instruments, choirs, entertainment, all types of social functions. There's no substitute for doing exactly what God said This is for our spiritual edification. We can do all of those other things outside this assembly. We do not need to change our assemblies just so we can do what we want to do and be pleasing to ourselves. Micah thought, this works out fine. And I can tell you right now, if he didn't change his life, I can tell you for sure he disobeyed God. His mother disobeyed God. The silversmith disobeyed God. The Danites disobeyed God. The Levite disobeyed God. There's not one person in that whole story that did what God said. Well, Abe, again, won't God just overlook those things? If that's the case, I can tell you right now, there will not ever be one person lost. Because everybody can do what's right in their own eyes, and they'll be fine. You really think that's true? He destroyed the earth with a flood because people thought that. So what led these people from God? Well, I'll argue, same thing. They had no king. What causes us to fall away from Him? Because we don't accept Jesus Christ as our King. We've got to accept Him. We've got to do what He says exactly the way He says it. And that in Romans 1:21, it amazes me when they finally decided that God was not the Creator and everything. They started worshiping themselves. They started worshiping out of the same thing, isn't it? He gives the formula for why we fall away. And people think, well, you know, God will just be happy with me if I do anything. Paul thought that. You remember what he said? Why? I think the old King James says, I verily thought in Acts 26:9 that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. He thought that. Galatians 1:6, he said, I marvel that you're so soon turning away. 1 Timothy 4, he said there would come people who would teach things like, you're not to marry. You need certain things. That's not in God's Word. That's not in the New Testament. But they did, and people followed them. You see, decline is really fast. Takes time. And as we've seen from this, think about this. One man, Micah, his mother, and the Levite finally influence a whole tribe by their actions to do something wrong. And we need to make sure that we continually follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have any needs, please let us know about them while you stand and sing.